So sometimes we have a kind of interactive time as we look at the passage. And that's what I'd like us to do, just for a little bit around this passage that Jen's going to read. So if you'd open your Bible at that passage, which is Luke chapter 2, and listen to it. I just want you to think about what jumps out at you about this passage. What does it say to you? What is interesting? A word, a phrase, an idea, just something that we can share. And if you've got ideas to share, that would be super. Thanks, Jen.
So Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
So as we read that passage today, was there anything that kind of jumped out at you, something that you'd like to mention? You don't need to be shy. It just doesn't need to be profound, deep. It can be, of course. Or questions that it raised with this very familiar passage. Anything at all? It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? An amazing story. But what does it say to us today? The shepherds, the angels, the baby, Mary. So much. So I can't see who's speaking. Who was that? Oh, sorry, Audrey. Oh, I can hear you. Yeah. 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 That's right. Yeah. They didn't hang around, did they? They didn't wait till they got someone to look after their sheep. They simply went, which is amazing. And I guess isn't that what God's looking for in all our lives? No dilly-dallying, no excuses, but to follow him. And when you think about the first disciples, or Jesus called them, and it just says they left their nets and followed him. You know, it doesn't say anything more than that, but just you've got that sense of here is someone worth following, here is someone worth going to. So we're just going to go. Everything else pales into insignificance beyond that. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Audrey. Yeah. Can you imagine what that was like? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, amazing sight, isn't it? They were looking after sheep at night, just minding their own business, minding their own sheep, and suddenly, wow, an angel. A great light shone. That phrase is only used twice in the New Testament, where this light, this blinding light shone. Can you think of where else in the New Testament that same phrase would have been used? Can you think of a story in the New Testament where there's a bright light? Sorry? Was the Transfiguration? Yeah, that's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's certainly true. Yeah, Valerie? Yeah, the road to Damascus, yeah. It's exactly the same phrase that is used twice in the New Testament. Once here for the glory of God filling the sky for those shepherds, and the glory of God filling the sky as Paul was on a road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light. It was so huge, so big. And, yeah. But yeah, you can try to imagine what that looks like. Again, there's words that we hear over and over and over, over again. And they can lose their impact. They can lose their meaning almost. But this is an amazing story of just the glory of the Lord, you know. And we think about the glory of God. We think about the Shekinah glory that this talks about. God presencing himself with his people. There's just something about whenever God's around, whenever his angel appears, you know it. You feel it. You feel the kind of word for that kind of glory is, it's a word that means something heavy, something that's felt, something that's weighty. And, it's bright, blindingly bright, heavy, heavy. You know God is there because you just know he is there. And that's what it was like that night. You could not mistake it. Those shepherds, no wonder they were afraid. It was quite extraordinary. But that's what God's presence does. Yeah. Yeah, great. Thanks, Jen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that is right. Shepherds in those days were weren't well thought of, not to be trusted, to be avoided. Can you think about people like that in our society today? People to be avoided, don't want to hang out with, don't want to get involved. Well, that's what shepherds were like in those days. And we had a young people's Bible study during the week, and Lucas, who had his birthday, very profoundly said, because we were saying, why were the very first people to hear this good news were the shepherds, the lowest of the low, the bottom of rung of the ladder. And beautifully Lucas said, but compared to God, everybody is the bottom rung of the ladder. You know, there's no different strata. You know, everybody's below him. Everybody's broken. Everybody's sinful. Everybody. So it really meant no difference, but that is right. But there is something in the whole of the Bible, isn't there, about God choosing the weak to shame the strong, choosing the uneducated to show up, you know, his great power. He chooses the weak, he chooses the least, and makes them the most. In fact, he said to the disciples, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. If you want to be first, you have to be last. So is this beautiful upside-down kingdom in God's world, that he goes to the poorest of the poor, the despised, the rejected, and tells them this good news. It's great. This is great. Any other thoughts? Yeah. That's right. They didn't keep it a secret. I think it's really interesting, isn't it? They came, they saw, and they went and told. They didn't keep it to themselves. This was good news, as the angel said to them. That is for all the people, not just for them. Not even just for Israel, it is for all the people. As John said in John 3:16, for God loved the world so much. He loved us all so much that he sent Jesus. This was a gift to everybody. This was news that was so good. You could not keep it a secret. And they didn't want to. They were so excited. Initially, they were terrified. But when they saw Jesus, they knew. They knew they were seeing someone special. They knew they were seeing the answer to the promise. They knew they were seeing the Savior of the world. And they went and told that. Isn't that amazing? They went and told. And you often find that stories like Zacchaeus. Remember the little man in the tree? Couldn't see Jesus. And he climbed the tree and he came down. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house for tea. And we think about all those people who came and flocked and were invited. Or the woman at the well, you know, who was, again, despised, rejected. She came to the well at noontime, avoiding people. And people wanted to avoid her. But she went and told people, I think I found the one who is the Christ. He told me everything I ever did. And because of what she said, even though they didn't rate her, because of what she said, most of that time was transformed, you know, because of telling. Yeah, so we've got, and all of us too, have got good news to tell, if we tell it. And yet if we don't tell it, how will people know? We mustn't be ashamed of it, embarrassed by it, because this is the salvation of the world. Without Jesus, we're lost. So we have to point the way. Yeah, thanks, Alan. This is great. Any other thing, thoughts? Yeah, wouldn't it? Yep, and lovely to hear all those stories, isn't it? That's why we're fascinated when we see things on TV about someone's life or a day in the life of, you know, and you get an insight. And back in these days, you know, when you think about Jesus' resurrection and the early church, there have been people stood up in church just like this and said, you know, I remember seeing Jesus resurrected. Or I remember I was on that hillside when he fed thousands of people. I was one of them. There was all of these eyewitnesses who said, I was there. I saw it, you know. But yeah, those shepherds may have well been part of that early church. Who knows? Really important people whose names we don't know, but it doesn't really matter. Remember the lady in the temple, the widow who only had two small coins. And Jesus said, look how she puts in those small coins. And that's all she has. She has given everything. Rich people come along, they can give a whole lot more, but she has given everything. And Jesus said, this story will be told about her forever. And we talk about her today. We don't know her name, but we know what she did. But there are lots of stories. Those names of people we don't know, whose stories we don't know. And yet all these lovely stories interconnected as one tells another, as one goes, another comes. One plants a seed, another waters a seed. You know, it's just amazing. In God's world, in God's economy, how it all fits together. Beautiful, isn't it? But yeah, it'd be nice. Well, meet them in heaven, Sharon. Oh, you were one of the shepherds. What was it really like? Good. Yeah. Any other thoughts? See, your thoughts are so much better than mine. This is great. Yeah, towards the end of that passage, it's just another lovely thing, isn't it? That Mary, all these things, but it was all so much for her. She was just a young girl. Again, we were saying to the young people, you know, your age maybe, 13, 14, 15, 16. A young girl having a baby. It's all so much. The angel speaking to you, going to Bethlehem, giving birth, shepherds coming, the wise men would come in time. And it was just so much. But that idea, she pondered all these things in her heart. You know? Yeah, and I think there's a lesson in that, isn't there, for us? Pondering these things. We know the story. Often we say, yeah, I know that story, and we move on. Or we come to church and we do our thing. But just stop and ponder the wonder of this, that God became man. And that if I'm a Christian, if I put my trust in him, his Spirit, the Spirit that was there at creation, the Spirit that brought Jesus to life again, the Spirit that sustains all of creation, the Spirit is within me. To ponder that, to let your mind think about that, to meditate on it, to say, oh, this is just mind-blowing. But as we ponder that, it should change our thinking. So the shepherds were frightened. Then they weren't frightened. They were full of joy. And it's as we take these stories and they become from, I don't understand this, to, I kind of understand it and I can live and I can trust. And Jesus says, trust me, just trust me, follow me, just follow me. But as we ponder those things, as I quoted before, I think it was Socrates who said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Which is true when you think about it. Sometimes we can live our lives and just go from one thing to another, go to school, go to university or whatever, get a job. Get married, blah, 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 and die. But the unexamined life, to simply live life thoughtlessly, is not wise, but to think, what is life? Who am I? Who is this Jesus that asked me to follow him? To ponder these things. Yeah. Great. Any other little thoughts? Big thoughts? Medium thoughts? That's right. Yeah, John had that great revelation of 10,000 times 10,000 angels praising, you know. And as I said the last couple of weeks, that idea of, you know, the vision of the angel before the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, day and night, over and over again, because it's just so mind-blowingly true and mind-blowingly wonderful. And that's right, praising God, that'll be our role. That's what we're made to do. Man's chief end, as you know from your shorter catechism, is to what? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And in fact, we enjoy him by glorifying him. There's not two things in there. It's one. As we worship him, as we know him, as we worship him, as we glorify him, We're enjoying him because he is our creator. He is our life. The one who made us in his image, who places his spirit inside us. Yeah. Yeah, we're made to worship. We all worship something. It's best to worship Jesus. Yeah. This is great. Any other thoughts? You're all doing really well. Okay, it's fine. Yeah, when I first looked at this passage, I was thinking about the title. They could have said no. As you said it in the big context of God's plan, you know, when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave this place that you like, that you know, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. Just trust me. What if Abraham had said no? Well, there would be no nation of Israel. There'd be no line of David. There'd be no savior of the world. Maybe if Abraham had said, no, I think I'll stay here. But he said yes. And you think of all those people in the Bible, like Mary. When the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. She could have said, no way, I'm not having this. No, I'm not part of this story. I don't want to be part of this story. My life is complicated enough. I'm only a child. No, but she didn't. She said, let it be to me as you have said. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm prepared to trust you. And again, when Joseph heard that news as well, and Joseph was an honorable man, but Joseph's only mentioned a few times in the Bible, and each time he's asked to do something, he does it. Joseph, take Mary as your wife. He did. Joseph, take the child and escape to Egypt. And he did. Joseph, it's time to go back. Go to Nazareth. And he did. Imagine if Joseph had said, no. But he didn't. He said, yes. And these angels, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The angels said, you will find this baby. What if they'd said, no, we've got sheep to look after. Are we hallucinating? No, we're not going to do this. Can't be bothered. I got things to do. Life's busy. But they said, yes, we'll go and see. And it changed their lives. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to say yes to him. When he asks us to do something, to do it. To trust him. Even when we don't understand it. Even though we might be frightened, to trust him, to say yes to Jesus.